Please join me in prayer. Lord God, bless your servant, O God. Touch my mouth and bless also the words that comes out of my mouth. May it be glorifying to you and give life to every one of us. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our message is entitled, Living Life in Jesus. When I was a young people in the Philippines, we have this acrostic about the Bible. And probably you have heard this already. And it means best instruction before leaving earth. So, Bible. And our scripture reading today felt the same, instructing us or guiding us how to live our life on earth. While last week, generally, it was an appeal by the Lord to stick by Him, if you remember our message. This week's message is more specific, and that is to remain in Him and bear the fruit of remaining in Him. While last week also, God showed Himself as a veterinarian, taking care of sheep. This week, on the other hand, He is a horticulturist. This just shows the genius of our Lord Jesus as a great teacher, being able to connect to the different profession that His audience are familiar with during their time. So, let's dive in with our text. The first two verses mention the characters in the story. Jesus as the true vine, then God the Father as the gardener who takes care of the branches or plants that they may bear fruit. The branches here are all those who claim to be followers of Jesus. Also mentioned here are two ways the gardener takes care of the vine, the overall vine, to promote fruit bearing, and that is cutting off and pruning. I can remember when I was in the Philippines, I have an experience managing mango plantation specifically for fruit bearing and for profit, for market purposes. I know that it has plenty of processes like weeding, watering, trimming, spraying, and if necessary, needs uprooting. Like if it's too close, they will be competing with sunlight, competing with nutrients. It needs to be uprooted. Anyway, in our text, there are only two processes mentioned, and that is cutting off, and the other one is pruning. The first one is cutting off. This one is a little harsh because cutting off these branches means separating from the vine. They're being cut off from the base, cut off from the trunk. We can think of possible reasons like it must be infected, so to prevent it from spreading, or, as I've said, prevent competition in absorption of nutrients, it must be separated from the rest, or at least give space in between. So probably this means people who just have superficial commitment, those who are just Christian by name, but are not truly convinced in their heart and mind that this is the right way of living, surely will not bear fruit for the Lord. Now, this may not only affect them, but also affect people around them. They may suppress or block the efforts of other believers, or lead other believers away from the truth. That is why they need to be cut off from the source. Thinking it deeper, while it sounds so harsh that someone may be cut off, for sure, that is not what we want. And for us to mention it also may sound so arrogant, right? Somewhat like we are holier than thou. But on the bright side, it is not also so bad. If you are not really convinced about the goodness of living a life in Christ, then it is a blessing that we are informed about the truth that we are cut off. As it is said, the truth will set us free. You yourself know in your heart that you don't belong because you chose it to be. It is worse if we are living a lie. We are given false hope. Oh, it is okay. You know? But in the end, we are informed that it is not okay. So it is just right that we are informed frankly and truthfully that we are cut off so that we could decide what is best for ourselves. The second one is simply pruning or trimming. Fruitful branches are trimmed to promote growth. In other words, God sometimes disciplines His people to promote growth, to strengthen our character and our faith. It is like, oh, I am still in the Lord. I will have free ride with the Lord. No, no, no. God, our Father, wants fruitful followers. Fruitful followers, not freeloaders. Do you think being trimmed is easy? No, I don't think so. If only plants could speak, we could have heard their cries of pain. Same also with our muscles. When I was working in UPS as a sorter, lifting 40 to 60 pounds a day, it was hard work. It was painful. But I became strong physically. Now that I'm only lifting my cell phone daily, I also became weaker, right? Being disciplined will not be easy, but we will become healthy in faith. So how are we going to make ourselves fruitful? Jesus repeatedly said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." The word remain was used 10 times in the first 10 verses of John chapter 15. Some helpful definition of remain to help our understanding is dwell. It also means be present, be held, and kept. So to remain is like a description of where we are in relation to where God is. So remain in me as I also remain in you. Based on the definition, our text encourages us to, number one, worship and pray in the Lord. In our definition, dwell in the presence of God. You can worship the Lord communally or by yourself. It is your personal preference. As long as there is the realization of the existence of God, His goodness, His mercy, His love, that encourages us to be thankful. Giving credit to God also acknowledges our dependence on Him. Number two is belief in the Word. We can refer that to verse 3 and verse 7, which mention about the Word. When I first went to the seminary, I was very young. I was a newly grad from college. So I went to the seminary for my Master of Divinity. My pastor told me, don't think of seminary as heaven, because it is not. Or even don't think of seminary as holy place, because it is not. But look at it as a marketplace of ideas. Buy ideas that you think will make you grow in the Lord, will make you strong in your faith, will help you share God's love and mercy to others. Today it is the same around us, and in the modern times are plenty of ideas, good ideas, from scholars, from specialists, psychologists, professionals, gurus, etc. Pick wisely and make sure that it will help you become stronger in your faith in the Lord. But for me, the highest authority when it comes to salvation in the Christian faith is still the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So let us keep studying the Word. Number three, keep the faith. Every Easter I always mention this, is if I have the chance, that of all religions in the world, from the most primitive, like the ones that have not seen civilization, to the most modern, Christianity is the only religion whose founder overcame death. Amen? Because all others, when they died, remain dead until even today. That only means that our hopes are not in vain. The promises that we are holding from the Word are not empty promises. Therefore, keep the faith in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus also mentioned about the fruit many times, but we have not clarified what it is. So what is it? What is the true fruit? Verses 4 and 5 illustrate that many people try to bear fruit by themselves and fail to impress the Father. Being generous, being forgiving, etc. Anyone can do that. But the only acceptable good fruit is done while living in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the only good deed that gives glory to the Son. Like our kids and youth, we lead worship. We always remind them that we are doing this for the glory of God. This is not for ourselves. Although it's true that sometimes we are, our kids are, you know, we praise them, because we also want to encourage them. But ultimately, we want to give them the right attitude, that in our service, it is all for the glory of God. Another is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now I want to end with a challenge. So where is the grace? Where is the love in our message today? Obviously, we are in church. Could mean that we are relatively in right relationship with God. And it seems so easy to pinpoint the faults and the weaknesses of others, especially if we are not included, right? I'm excluded. So remember the lesson of the speck in our eyes. It seems that way. It is also easy to love the lovable. Very easy. And it is also very easy to judge the unforgivable. So where is grace and love? Remember the one being cut off? Before they eventually been cut off, for sure we or they have experienced many chances to choose God over self or over anything else. God's grace is abundant that way. After being led astray or eventually been cut off, as long as it is not the end, still the Lord's grace is in action. Amen? God's grace is abundant. Like the good shepherd, he is looking for his lost sheep. He will not stop looking for you or me. He will not stop until we are recovered. God will not stop until you are safe in his hands. That's the grace and love that I was looking for. Amen? That is why we have broken people like you and me answering God's call in the full-time ministry or simply coming back to Christ. It is like a thrown-away branch grafted back in the source. It is not illustrated in our text, but that's God's grace. Because God is in the business of redeeming people, not condemning. Amen? Now we can end. As Jesus emphasized, let us remain in Him. Let us not wait for the last hour. We might not get one or given one. Let us choose right now the one who truly loves and cares for us, the one that can make us produce the right fruit in the sight of God, and that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. Amen.